9, if you look with me in the scripture, Galatians chapter 2, a verse of scripture there. Preached from chapter 1 last Wednesday, talked about how that Christ gave himself our sins that he might deliver us. And there's a purpose in God's deliverance, and spoke on that. If you read the rest of that chapter, it's Paul's testimony of how he was saved, taught of God, how that he was in his prior life, that he was a sinner and was in ignorance. But then God spoke to him and he was saved, and then he went to God's school. And we find in that chapter the great testimony of the Apostle Paul defending his apostleship. And then in chapter 2, we start to see here that he goes to these Jews and talks to them. Jewish people really had a problem with the Gentile people getting saved and how they were conducting their affairs. And anyway, Paul preached to them and stood for what was right. Paul never gave in to the peer pressure of the Jewish brethren. He called them a bunch of hypocrites. He even said Barnabas got carried away with their hypocrisy. And Paul confronted Peter about his hypocrisy, how one minute he was with the Jews and the next minute he was with the Gentiles, and then he was with the Jews. And it was just a mess. And they was trying to bring in circumcision as a part of salvation. If you go to Acts 15, that's one great important chapter in the scripture. You'll remember that, how that they had to meet there, and how the whole subject of salvation and circumcision dealt with the Gentile people. Circumcision, we know, was a cutting of the flesh, and it was a Jewish deal. And now they're trying to bring that on into the New Testament, and trying to bring that into part of salvation. They in fact said that a man couldn't be saved except he be circumcised after the manner of Moses. And that's just pure out legalism. And we know tonight, brother, that there's a lot of things people say. You know, I've got to think of this week how just a fine line, amen, this thing is. It's so easy to get off and believe something that's really not biblical. And it's so easy these people get off on different things. And you know, here at these, even some good people were drawn away. And that's why Paul dealt with that in this church. It was a lot of legalism. And Paul just went ahead and told it, thank God, like it was. And we find in verse number 21 of chapter 2, Paul said this unto all these circumcised legalists that wanted Titus to be legalized, wanted him to be cut on. Amen. And I'm going to tell you tonight, it's a sad day when we're trying to make disciples after ourselves. Amen. Instead of what God does. Listen, when we get through tonight, you'll have to say this. Righteousness is a complete rule. That means Christ. Our righteousness is as filthy rags in ourselves. We have none. We don't have it. Amen. Paul said, my righteousness. He said, buddy, it wasn't mine. It was his. It wasn't what I did. It's what he did. And everything tonight, thank God, surrounds what Christ did and not what we did. Amen. That's right. Praise God. Notice verse 21. He said this. He said, for I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. I want to preach to you tonight, if God will help me, on are you a legalist? This whole chapter deals with legalism. He said, you did run well, but who did hinder you? Who's got you off this truth? He even made the statement in one place that you've fallen from grace, which don't mean that they fell from this place of the salvation. It simply means that you're getting out of what you was taught. You're trying to make perfect by the flesh what was wrought, and it cannot make you perfect. There's no flesh. Hey, God can make you perfect. It's got to be done by the grace of God. Amen. Now, I won't say this tonight. He said over there, he said, the flesh lusted against the spirit, spirit against the flesh, for these are contrary one to the other, and you cannot do the things that you would. Remember that scripture?
Yes, sir.
Now, I won't take this in my content or context of what I think about that verse. I think what Paul's saying to them, all, you got to think, this is a group of people here meeting. Paul's making that statement in amongst the church. What is the difficulty in that church? The difficulty is that they're trying to bring fleshly things in with spiritual things. They're trying to say you got to be circumcised. They're trying to say you got to be cut in the flesh. And Paul said the flesh lusts against spirit. You can't have the spirit, amen, my friend, and have the flesh. You've got to have either one. So basically what I may be saying to that crowd is, if you go to fleshly things, you're going contrary to what the Spirit says. Amen. Now, I know that's now the personal application of that is, I got to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I know that's personal application of my life. If I'm walking in the Spirit, I won't live in the flesh. But if you look at this thing, it would be like tonight if we had a church here and people wanted fleshly things and that's all they wanted. That's contrary to spiritual things that God only produces in His people. Amen. We're dealing with spiritual life. We're dealing with spirit world. Amen. We're not dealing with the fleshly world. Even though the flesh, my friend, is going to have to come subject to God, it never will. It's going to wrestle with Him the whole time. That Bible said the flesh lusteth, it fights against the spirit. They're contrary. Hey, these people won't be circumcised. That's not a spiritual doctrine for that church. That was a fleshly doctrine. And they're contrary to one another. What I'm trying to say is, anytime that you want to bring the flesh into something that make men perfect, it'll always be contrary to what the Holy Ghost brings. Amen. That's right. Amen. And I understand and know that, you know, when I look at that thing, buddy, I'm telling you, if you look at that thing, he said, and the fruit of the Spirit is joy, love. I mean, what love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. He said, this is the fruit of the Spirit. That's the fruit of the Spirit. So it says this, in the church, these things ought to be coming forth from the born-again people by the Spirit of God. It's not the fruits of the Spirit, it's the fruit of the Spirit. And all this should be coming, thank God, from the life of an individual who's been born again. Amen. It's not based on cutting your flesh, it's based on the Spirit living through you and bearing fruit. Thank God that He can only bear through you. Amen. You can't bear it yourself. You've got to be God. Let me ask you a question tonight. That's right. Think about this here.
Go ahead.
In our churches today, would they let Jesus preach in our church? That's right. Would you let Paul and Silas sing in the choir? Really, if you think about it, what would you say tonight if you'd have been sitting there that day that woman that come in behind the Lord started weeping on His feet and washing His feet with the hairs of her head? What would you have said? Would you have said that woman needs to go home and change her clothes? Would you have said that woman, he don't know what that woman's like and where she's been and what she's done? You want me to tell you why? People's legalist. Anything that brings bondage is legalism. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. You've got to get this now, and I'm not scared to preach it. It's right. When righteousness comes in through grace, when grace through righteousness comes in a person's life, listen to me. It's freedom. It's freedom. Righteousness rules. Do you know why we preach so many rules and put so many people under bondage down at the church house? Because we want to control them. Listen, if God ain't controlling you, you're not going to do it anyway. It'd just be grievous to you. Righteousness rules in your life. I said this not long ago. God don't put a fence around His sheep. They're following the shepherd. If they get out of the way, God's going to go after them, amen. And buddy, I'm telling you what we've done. We based God's righteousness off of the law. And we're not even under the law. Amen. Amen. We're not even under the law. God. We're not under the law. We're in the law of the Spirit.
But what I'm trying to say to you tonight, and you say, preacher, preaching that, people not do what they want to. They can't if they've been born again. What am I afraid of tonight? I'm afraid, Paul said, I stand in doubt of you. He said, you started out in the Spirit, now you're made perfect by the flesh, and now you're following circumcision and all these other things, and you're not following what God started in you. He said, I stand in doubt of you. That's what he said. Amen. Listen, I want to say this tonight about legalism. Number one thing, Brother Daniel, say preaching against sin is not legalism.
Right.
It's according how a man preaches against it.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
If a man preaches against sin to destruct, then that's wrong. But if a man preaches against sin because the Holy Ghost put it on him and he wants to help the people, thank God, and reprove them that they might make it right in repentance, that's true preaching, amen.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
But if I just get up tonight just to destruct people with preaching, then that's the wrong answer. See, that's what the Pharisees was like. Amen.
Right.
Pharisees were, you see what they had on today. It wasn't about trying to instruct them and give them the truth. It's about what their rule is. See, buddy, I'm just as free tonight, thank God. I can do anything I want to in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Right. Amen.
Yeah.
You say, why do you come to church 3 times a week? Because God's in me.
Yeah.
It's not because Danny has to call me every day and say, now remember, we got church Sunday morning. Hey, man, it's because it's in me. Righteousness reigns in that. Thank God, buddy, when you have to live by a bunch of rules, he said the law was given for a sinful man. What's the law for? The law is to show you that you can't keep it. The law ruled the Old Testament people. Israel, they had laws, they had commandments. But see, the Spirit of God always respects the commands of God. They don't abuse the commands of God. Hey, but if you're looking for a loophole in this thing to do what you want to do, you probably never have got saved.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody said, I wonder how I could do this and be right. Well, you're not going to be right if you're not right. Amen. People looking for a loophole in the Word of God. And listen, a man ought not have to get up here and preach all the time. Thank God on convictions and standards. Thank God for the sheep that walk by, amen.
Yeah, right.
You know what? When I got saved, nobody had to preach to me about giving. Nobody didn't have to tell me you got to get up, you need to get a haircut. Amen. Nobody told me that. The Holy Spirit told me that. Amen. Nobody told me what I had to do. Thank God, God told me. Why? Because I've been born in the Spirit and God lives in me and you'll never live for God. He does live in you. I tell you what, I'd hate to be religious. That's the worst thing a man can be, is religious. It's the worst damnable sin there is. Devils is religious as a man. He's a religious liar is what he is. Amen. But I tell you, I'd hate to be religious. Because religion is what, my friend, brings men under bondage. And that's what this Galatians, a writer Paul is trying to bring these people out of, is the bondage that they're in. And when a man's in bondage, that's a terrible place to be. Amen. He said, notice, if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. We know tonight that the finished work of Calvary is the only offering that God accepts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the only offering God accepts. It's not forced legislation.
Right.
It's imputed righteousness. What's impute means? It means that God took His righteousness and charged it to your account. He put it on your account. That's why God can say, Justin's a righteous man because He imputed that to you. Amen. How? By faith. Amen. By believing. It's not by works. It's not nothing you can do. Anytime you're trying to work yourself to God, or you're trying to work yourself to stay saved, you'll die lost. There's no human effort that God will ever approve. There's no human effort God will ever accept. It's got to be done by the God of heaven. And if it's not done by the God of heaven, then you'll die in your sins. Amen. That's right, buddy. There's nobody can be saved by human effort. You can't put your hand on one thing and God says, buddy, I tell you, that man's right because he done that. I'll tell you another thing. There's nobody ever been saved without hearing. Buddy, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It said, by faith, Noah moved with fear. Prepared an ark for the saving of the sinner. He would have never prepared an ark if he hadn't heard it. There'd never be anybody that ever offered up a lamb or offered up anything unless they would heard it first and they believed God in obedience to do it. And God bless that. But buddy, there nobody does anything unless they heard it first. That's right. Why did you get saved? You heard it. You heard it. It's got to come through these ears, friend. You got to hear it to get in.
Yeah.
Hey, man, you know, hey, buddy, I'm telling you what, I'm not pigeonholing God or putting God in the corner, but I'm telling you one thing, God puts a preacher in your path that you might hear it, amen.
Yeah.
That's right, buddy. He puts a preacher in your path. It's all God. You can't boast in nothing. I mean, righteous, if you could do your own human efforts and God receive it, I tell you, would be my friend. Ain't got a legalism. A legalist. God ain't going to receive it. God won't receive nothing man puts his hand to. God does it. And that's final. Amen. That's right, buddy. Amen. Listen, why would you want to get cut up with the law? Why do you want to bring yourself under law? Why would a... Listen. Preaching is always to instruct, edify, reprove. It's a purpose in preaching. It's a purpose in the Word. Everything is to help you. It's nothing. Nothing is to hurt you. Now, I know and understand you say that hurts in the flesh. But the thing of it is, it always is to help you. Hey, man, preach it. Listen, I didn't meet here this night. Thank God to send you back to the house and say, boy, it's rough on us. I know it feels like that sometimes. But it's never the purpose. The purpose is God's Holy Ghost to get in your heart and work on you. Amen. Thank God that my friend has to do some dealings on your heart. But if you ever get there in revelation and understand what he wants to do in your life and know it's all here, thank God you can live off that. Amen. But this crowd here, they want to be circumcised apparently. You know what legalist is? It says they're reliance on works for salvation. You remember that man in Luke 18, what he said, Brother Danny? He said, Lord, I'm not like other men. He despised men. There were 6,000 Pharisees, I think they said. It was a group of people that was self-righteous. I'm not in bondage. All things are lawful, not expedient. Think of it is, friend, I'm not in the bondage. What if Jesus come in here tonight and he had a... I'm not just saying this because you've got a beard. I know there's other men got beards. But what if Jesus come in here tonight and he had a beard? And I believe he did have a beard. Well, they started growing a beard. It was about 13, wasn't it? That was a proof of manhood there to the Israelite. Amen. That's why when they shaved them beards off David's men, they're saying, you're just a half a man. That's right. If he come into the meeting tonight, Jesus did, and he come in with a beard and sandals on, you'd say, surely the preacher ain't going to let him up tonight. Isn't that right? Yeah, that's right. You see what I'm trying to dig in you tonight? Everything's become legal now. He said, walk in liberty. That don't mean we're liberated to do what the flesh wants. That means we're liberated to do what the Holy Ghost says.
Amen.
Right. Without the Holy Ghost, thank God the Spirit birth you. He ought to thank God, tell us how to live and what to do, and that's how I live. Thank God. checked yourself out lately and asked yourself this, why do I do what I do? Why do I wear what I wear? Huh? Well, I wear it because I'm afraid the preacher will see me. Is that right? That ought not be the reason. Amen. Or I wear that because I know that them people down there might say something. You know what you ought to say? When I get up in the morning, I dress by the lead of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And I do it because the Lord's pleased. Amen. I would want you to check your motive tonight. Now, I think women ought to look like women. That's my personal belief. And I think that's God's truth. I think a woman ought to look like a woman. I think a man ought to look like a man. I think a man ought to be masculine. I think a woman ought to be feminine. I think that's biblical truth. Don't you? Amen. But here's the thing, folks. We've got down into Baptist church now where we've got so legal in our own mind instead of thinking that we can't live in the liberty of the Spirit and enjoy the Christian life. You know what a man told me one time when I was talking about eternal security? You know what he told me? He said, if I believe the way you did, I can have joy like you got. I thought, well, why don't you? You know why? Because of his peers. You know what they had told him? If you sin, you're not going to have, you can never know you're saved. Well, I'm telling you what, I know I am. And I know I have been. And I know I am. Amen. I said, I know I am. I know I am. If you don't know you are, then you don't know it. But I know I am. How you know it? By the Holy Ghost. By the new creature. By the word of truth. Amen. By the effectual workings of God in my life. But I tell you how to answer it one way. Thank God I'm saved by the witness of God. Amen. I'm not bound. What's binding you tonight? That's what they're saying. You've got to be circumcised. Titus was a Gentile. He stood there with the apostle before all them Jews that believed in circumcision. He stood there with them. Paul said, "I said this man needs circumcision." What did Paul say? He said, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything but a new creature. We're a new creature. What's that mean? Thank God you're new in Christ.
Amen.
Amen, buddy. You're as new as you could ever be. Amen, buddy. I'm telling you, today you got saved, you got made new, and buddy, you're as new tonight as you ever have been. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, every time you read that, it'll say, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Amen.
He is new, amen. He don't make himself new. God done made him new, amen.
Amen.
That's right. You know, the people's conception of the church is a building with a steeple and pews and people sitting there and hearing a man get up and talk. And that man right here in the pulpit, who is the pastor and put in the position of God's man to lead the church as God leads him. I want to tell you something. Now, you hear me gladly. Just hear me gladly. Just hear me gladly. I preach the Word of God here, and you agree to that. I don't mean I preached everything right, and down through 26 years, there's been a lot of stuff that ought to kick off into the ocean. But you know what I'm saying. Any man says he's preached everything right since he's called, he's a liar.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. But I preach the gospel right. I preach the gospel right. I want to say this tonight. Listen to me. If I drop dead tonight, and this church is left here, and they change because I'm dead, you ain't got nothing.
That's
right, ain't it?
That's right.
Huh? If people start dressing different because they just done it because the preacher, you ain't got much. I'm preaching what God said. I'm not preaching what I said.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
I understand all the preachers in the pulpit. The preacher's leading the house of God. The preacher's trying to lead his church. But he's not God. He's in God's possession. The preacher of God on the earth, the people are saved and try to preach the truth that they might be perfected out of sight and get in the walk of the ministry.
Yeah.
That they might come into a perfect man. That's right. Amen. You think in the morning, praise God. You think in the morning because I'd be scared Robert Cranfield drive my house. Or if I thought nobody's going to drive by my house, I'd put on Bermuda shorts and a tank top and a baseball hat backwards. You got another thought coming, friend. You can drive by. You're going to see no hat on backwards, Bermuda shorts or a tank top, sir, out in the drive, out mowing the grass. You know why? Because it's in me.
Amen.
It's in me. I don't have to put legal standards on a church that's been saved. I think you ought to have an order. You got to do things decently in order. But I don't have to get up and preach to you all the time to try to get you to do something that God's already put in you.
Amen.
What I'm saying is righteousness reigns in a man's heart and to a man. And thank God he's not under legal bonds and legalism. Amen. And thank God just can't move. Unless the man's got a white shirt on. I never forget, we was at the rest home one time, and I've said this before, is that preaching at the Meadows of Rockwell, I held a little service down there, and Lady Trill was there, and they were standing around the piano singing. It was all right. I mean, they got good blend and sing good, and it was a blessing, you know. But this old fellow was sitting there, I didn't know him. Had on a pair of old jeans, shirt tail out. And to be honest with you, when he got up, I thought, wonder what he's going to do. And he kind of just stumbled up. He kind of had a limp. And I said, y'all sing Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. And that old boy just got by the piano and he started singing. And I thought, praise God, where are the angels at? Man alive. God got in that thing, buddy. And I mean, that just got deep in my heart. And then he limped, sat back down. You think God's just in your little old corner because you're under some legal tradition. You've missed God a many a time, and I have too, and we've sold out to it just because we think they can't say nothing to help us. You better listen to the old preacher tonight. You better realize one thing. There ain't nobody that can't teach you something.
Amen.
Amen. I remember praying one time. We was around the table, and this preacher was at the... I was a young preacher then, young pastor, and boy, I thought I knew everything. And we was sitting around a restaurant one time, and the preacher said, I thought for sure he'd call on me to pray, you know. And he said, he called on the smallest boy to pray. And I thought in my mind, here's a preacher and you call on a little old boy to pray? You got to remember, now this is years ago. I ain't that stupid no more. And that little boy got to praying from his heart.
Yes, sir.
Man, God humbled me, son. I felt God in that thing. He humbled me. I felt so little. Amen. You know why? We're legalists. We think we're the only ones that's got the answer and we're the only ones can do it. Amen. And that's what they're saying. Our way's the best way. Come on, we want to cut on you. We want to circumcise you. We want to make you one of us. If you don't have that mark, you surely can't be right with God. What Paul called him, he said, you bunch of fools. That's what he said. He said, foolish Galatians. If you're foolish, you're acting like a fool. He said, you could. He said, you begat us. He said, who's bewitched you? Who's fascinated you by their knowledge? By their tradition? Who's fascinated you? You know, there's been many a good church that go off into apostasy because some intelligent, subtle man has led people down the road and they said, boy, that man's sharp. It was all intellectual, nothing from the book. Fascinated. That's why they'll fall in Antichrist, because he'll fascinate them. Signs and wonders. Fascination. That's what people want from the pulpit. We want to be fascinated. That's because they live in a fantasy world. Amen. Notice this here. He said, I like verse 2 in chapter 3. He said, this would I learn of you, and receive you the spirit of the works of the Lord by the hearing of faith. How did you get the spirit? What he said. Verse 3, are you so foolish having begun the spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? I remember when I was a young preacher, and I people might still do it once in a while. They'd say to me, where'd you go to school at?
Yeah.
I said I didn't. Went to East Oway and graduated. I said, I tried to go to Holy Ghost Scotland. I said, he said, don't go to that. That's hurting you. God says, I just won't do it. I'm not preaching against school. I would preach against school that leaves God out and truth out. Why'd they say that? That's their legal thoughts. A man can't preach without being educated. Who's the educator of this thing anyway? Is the Holy Ghost or man? Paul said, I received it. I was taught by man. I had received it by man. Thank God there was no human instrument. Thank God that showed me what how the Holy God of heaven showed me.
Amen.
God uses human instruments. But buddy, on that day, he heard a voice from heaven. Amen. That's right. I won't say this. You're as free tonight as you can be.
Amen.
You're as free tonight as you can be. If you're saved. If you're not saved, you're in bondage.
Right.
If you're not saved, you're lost. If you're not saved, you're in bondage. Friend. And if somebody... Listen, I'm going to go to this verse here. Notice what he said here in 5:13. He said, for brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for occasions of the flesh, but by love serve one another. In other words, your liberty's not to be abused. That's where that old guy said, well, you Baptists really believe once saved, always saved. And all you're telling people is, hey, go out and sin. I said, no, if you're saved, you don't want to sin.
Amen.
But I said, that's better than what you're preaching. You're preaching they don't even know when they are saved. I was riding down the road with Edgar Thomas one time, and I just questioned the old man of God. He was a great preacher, a grace preacher, you know, and believed God. I said, Brother Edgar, what did you think of Charles Spurgeon? He was a Spurgeon man. He said, Brother Jewel, he was the best since the Apostle Paul. I said, what did you think about Billy Sunday? He said, I was all right, a little shallow, Brother Jewel. You got a lot of them people to make them professions. I said, what did you think about John Wesley? He said, I don't know, Brother Jewel, whether he even knew he was saved, what he preached. You know why? Because he preached that you could fall from grace. Finney preached you could fall from grace. Finney didn't, listen, brother, I read his book. Finney didn't even know he was saved with conviction in his heart. And you can say what you want to, buddy, and it really don't matter to me. I'm a Baptist because I believe their doctrine, and I believe in immersion. Yeah. But I'm telling you one thing, buddy. If the Baptists tonight said, we don't believe you can be saved forever, I tell them they're liars. Thank God, if you get saved, you're saved forever, amen.
Yeah.
There ain't no such a thing as getting saved and being lost, and getting saved and being lost, and getting saved and being lost. And I'm going to tell you something now. These people that believe you can lose it, they might not never had it.
That's right.
I'm going to tell you one thing. The day that God saved me, I've been saved ever since.
Yeah.
Me too.
And I hadn't lived perfect, but I tell you what, there's a perfect work in me.
Right.
And it won't stop.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody said to me, they said, Well, do you really believe a man's saved? He goes out and gets drunk and gets in a car wreck. He's going to heaven. I said, if he's saved, he is. I said, that's between him and God. I wouldn't want to die like that, but if he's saved, he's going.
He is.
I preach against alcohol. I think it's wrong.
Yeah.
And that's not legalism preaching. That's biblical preaching to tell people. And nobody would have to tell me it's wrong to go get a drink when the Holy Ghost lives in me.
Yeah.
Somebody said the other day, he said, what about a little wine for the stomach juice and all for them permanents? I said, up, you can go ahead. Go ahead. I'm not going to do it. I'll tell you what, you can do as much as God lets you do in the Scriptures. Amen. That's true, isn't it? The Holy Spirit shall guide, not the law.
Amen.
He said, we live by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, who walked not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
I'm trying to knock you down a little bit tonight to see, praise God, that you don't have to try to do anything. It's the Holy Ghost living through you. And through you, thank God, He lives in obedience. Thank God, it's going to be taking place in a believer. Amen.
Right.
Why do you go to jail? You go because the Holy Ghost told you to go. And you know that's the commission in the Bible, and you obeying it. It ain't somebody saying, boy, you better get up right now. If you don't, you're going to hell.
Sometimes I feel
it. That's right. That'd be like somebody said, boy, I'm going to tell you what, you better get. I preach this old foolish and boy. I'll tell you one thing, you better get to reading your Bible. If you don't, you're going to go to hell. Is that right? I like a verse on that. You know what? You're not going to hell for anything you do or don't do. You're going to hell because of what you are. You're a sinner. Amen. You can't do one thing to keep yourself out of hell. But the grace of God gives you repentance and faith. Amen. You can resist the Holy Ghost. You can resist the pleading of God. But I'm telling you what, you'll never get anybody to heaven, friend. Nobody ever gets here and ever say, look what I did.
Yeah, right.
You'll think the way some people testify in the Baptist church, buddy, they ain't helping God. I'm going to tell you something tonight, buddy. I've hit it before and I'll hit it again. Testifying is not bragging on yourself. And people say, I don't do this and I don't do that and I don't do this and I don't. What do you do? I said, mannequins don't do that. You ever saw a mannequin smoke a cigarette? I got to preaching up there at that meeting. You was there and I said, Brother Satan, you remember that? I just got on that. I said, mannequins don't do nothing. You know what they are too? They're dummies. You know, a lot of people in the Baptist church, they tell you, they don't do this, don't do that. I'm going to tell everybody, separation is not from, it's unto. And if you ever get separated unto Him, thank God there's nothing like Him. Amen.
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 Yes,
they, I got married, thank God, and separated unto her. You know, Daddy, he walked me down the aisle that day. Remember that? Had that white tux on. Amen, buddy. About the 100-degree weather. In the Lutheran church, too. That's pitiful, ain't it? Hey, I wasn't saved. You can't hold that against me. That's right. We come down there. Old Daddy walked me down. Praise God. You know what? When he stood up there and I said, I do. You know what I said?
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Remember her coming down that aisle, son? Boy, I felt good, buddy. Oh, yes. It was just hard to believe that I was getting married and having a good wife God's given me. It's about hard to believe. It was excitement to me. I looked forward to it. She'd come down the aisle and we took exchange vows. And what we said was what he said to say, I do, you know, and all that. And when I said I do, separated me from everything else. Separated unto her. That evening when I got off work, the next time I didn't go to some other woman's house and ask her to cook me biscuits. Well, I'm getting the truth into you now. What's wrong with y'all wanting to go to somebody else's house and eat biscuits? I went home, son. She had the biscuits on the table. You know why? I'm separated to her. Time to go to bed at night. And say, wait a minute. I got another house to go sleep at. That's what Baptist people do. They say they're saved, but they never had the house of God.
Come on.
You know what I'm saying? They say they married to Jesus and He's the head of the church. But out there, they never have really been separated unto Him.
Right.
We got in married that day. Be 35 years this year. It's a blessed man. And I said, I do. She said, I do. Them was great words. Amen. You know what? A lot of people are just legalist. You know what? I'm not married. Listen, I know it's legal what I did. But buddy, there's freedom in my house.
Amen.
We don't put rules at the door and say, if you don't take out the trash today, I don't love you. Well, that's the way the Baptist church treat people. If they don't take the trash out, they don't love them. I'm going to put my foot down on this one here, and I got to go. I got to let y'all out. I've been preaching a little longer. But you know what? You know what I'm going to give you here? They didn't do what I liked them to do. Bless God. I can take this Bible, buddy. You love people for who they are, and you love the body. And they love weak people.
Yes, sir.
Did He say they were not? He said them weak parts of that body were necessary. The agape love is a love feast anyway. Church ought to be loving Jesus and loving one another and loving the Word of God.
Amen.
Unity in the church comes from the love of God in the heart. You got a knife on you. Here you go. Redneck country boy, ain't got a knife. You got one. I know you would. Is this one of them switchblades? Open it up. Who wants to get cut on? That's what they said. Wasn't that right? That'd be like church, you know, in that day, if it had said, hey, Titus, get up, here we got to cut you. Paul said, wait a minute. Christ died. What He did is enough. You don't have to cut nobody. It's a gift. Ain't that right? That's all circumcision is, the cutting of the flesh. That's what a lot of Baptist preachers and churches want to do on people. Cut them. I don't like the way they look, but cut them. I don't like the way they sing, I'm going to cut them. Well, what you've done, you've cut a buddy up. We don't have no liberty no more. Love your buddy. Appreciate that pencil you brought me. You brought me a pencil from West Virginia. I had a cut out of a tree or something, wasn't it? Why don't you keep your preferences to yourself? Ain't that right? That's all churches want to argue about is preference. I prefer blue carpet. That's why split church is more than anything else. Preference. Legalism. I'm going to tell you what, you hear me gladly. When somebody comes out that door as a visitor and they've never been to this church, buddy, you ought to be shaking their hand. You ought to say, brother or sir, it's a blessing to have you today. Thank you for coming.
Right.
Instead of saying, what you carrying?
Yeah. That's right. That's right. Amen.
Some man might say this. I have no shame of what I'm carrying. But I'll tell you this. I ain't got the business of what he's carrying. The main thing about him, he needs Jesus. And if he's got him, praise God, that's what I'm concerned about. Amen.
Right.
Every visitor that comes in that door ought to be handshook at least 10, 15 times. Amen? That's right. We're not a clique.
No, we're not.
Cut. Click. Cut. Click. Y'all won't meet at my house for coffee.
Yeah.
Boy, I put the bomb on that,
right.
Son. We. This is a body. This ain't one arm. I'll tell you what, a quarterback couldn't do nothing if he didn't have a line. He got to have somebody block for him. Amen. I'll tell you another thing too, a running back ain't going to make it nowhere if he ain't got no blockers. And a pitcher ain't going to throw a strike if he ain't got no catcher. And a man ain't going to hit if he don't have a bat. Takes all. Amen. That's why we ought to love one another in Christ and walk in the freedom of the Spirit.
Yes, sir.
And we enjoy the Christian life. Enjoy the Christian life.
Yes, sir.
Enjoy the Christian life.
Amen.
Yep. Amen. When you get to the place in your Christian life and you're saying, I got to do that. I got to do this. You know what you're saying? I'm from Mount Sinai. I got to do it. Ain't that right? Mount Sinai is a place of the law. That's where that's why, you know why they assembled Hagar like that? Because she was a slave woman.
Yeah.
We're born in the promise.
That's right.
That's where Isaac come from.
Yeah.
Ishmael come out of the slave market.
Mm-hmm.
Isaac come out of, thank God, in the promise. Amen. Yeah. Right, buddy. Thank the Lord. You ain't no legalist, are you? I'm free in Jesus. And freedom causes respect, reverence, and love for the one that set me free. That's why that guy got that awl put in his ear. Remember that?
Yes, sir.
He served him for what, 7 years?
7 years.
And then he said, you can go free if you want to, or you can stay and we'll put an awl on you and you'll be a servant for life.
Yeah.
And you know what he said? He said, Master, boy, I love you. So please, God. Amen. Hey, man. Hey, God, buddy. It's a blessing, man. Amen. Right. Amen. Master, I love you. He said, well, I must stay with you. He said, well, stick up here by the door. Put that awl in his ear and said, that's a mark right there. Are you with me forever? You know why? Because he loved his master.
Yeah.
You get saved, you love your master. You don't have to worry about people going out living in sin. They won't serve their master.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. You know why I'm free? I'm free. That's right. You're free too if you're saved.
Yes, sir.
You're free. What about, why would you even sing the song, I'm free, if you're not free? I stand. I appreciate you hearing the word of God.